Sunshine, 106.8, Dublin's easy place to relax. It's Saturday Live with Robbie Fogarty. MediaWise now, in association with Comisión na Mban, is here to help you question and manage your own personal media environment with special guests taking all aspects of media literacy from social to traditional media, online safety and fact-checking. Susan Daly's joining me, managing editor with Journal Media. Very nice to meet you.
I read
a lot about you, and I know it's been a very busy time post-COVID and all of that. And the world is changing very quickly in terms of the media, isn't it? I mean, fake news is a term, I'll be honest with you, I only heard fake news from Donald Trump. But now everyone's talking about fake news.
That's right. And fake news, even pre-Donald Trump, wasn't a new thing. So fake news is something that he put on it. And Donald Trump is the master of, if nothing else, the soundbite. So when you say fake news, all of a sudden it sort of, it brings a picture to mind, right? Somebody's trying to hoodwink you. Someone's trying to put the wool over. And they're trying to persuade you of something for some nefarious reason. Of course, the irony was, in terms of purveyors of news that's not correct, Donald Trump
was
right
king.
Up there. He's the king of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's true that for a very long time, really, since the printing presses have been around, the art of persuasion has been a big thing. And people are always trying to convince hearts and minds of something. And they will give you information that is not, there's two types, I think, when we think of fake news, people automatically think of something that's completely fake. Someone has made it up because they want to convince you of something. Well, a lot of people are cottoned on to that now. A lot of people are fairly savvy. A lot of people are online. So that is disinformation, when something is totally untrue and they put huge effort into spreading it and making it a thing to say that, you know, this is the way this thing is in the world and tell you that you're under siege. But misinformation is another thing, and it's really common. And that's where it's fake news too, but it's inaccurate. There may be
so
a
is it
piece
more
of
subtle?
Truth. It's more subtle. It's that sense of, I suppose, God, it could happen, couldn't it? And that's very convincing, because while it doesn't sell you a huge conspiracy theory, it does start to put you in a position of always wondering, always being cynical, always thinking that maybe whoever the government's lying to you, or the health authorities are lying to you, or Mary down the street is lying to you because she believes in one thing.
Because all the greatest hoodwinks have a grain of truth to them, don't they, to make them seem more
real? It has
real.
To be credible, exactly. Yeah. And that's one of the things. You know, we have had a fact-check unit in the journal since 2016. And I started that because there was a general election coming up. And I was like, no, we're not doing any more policies. Like, we're not taking any more from the politicians based on what's on their pamphlets. We're going to everything they tell us. We're going to fact-check it.
Yeah.
So it became very much about fact-checking.
And how difficult is it to
policies.
Do that? It must be a huge consumption of resources for you.
It is. Now, there's something like fact-checking politicians' claims is actually something that in some ways is straightforward enough, because you ask them, where are you getting that from? Show us the raw data. And we're all about finding the original sources. And then we also, if we publish a fact-check, link to those so people can look at them for themselves. We don't want to tell people what to think, but we do want to show them our homework and how we got there. It becomes more difficult when it moved away from politicians being the main place we were looking. And the big thing, of course, was COVID. Before that, we had some referendums. They were fairly contentious. There was a lot of stuff popping up there online. And this is where the term fake news has jumped really from Donald Trump in the last few years to being so prevalent for all of us, because we are all so online. We use social media so much. We see a lot of it going around things you can see, like Facebook or Instagram or X, formerly Twitter. But we also use a lot of messaging apps, like 79% of people in Ireland use WhatsApp. So the things that pass through WhatsApp, and often through networks of people that you trust, your friends, your local mammy's group, of which I'm in many, you know, these are the places that things will pop up. People are well-meaning spreading them, but they're often, they could be credible, but they're not quite.
Because it's like Chinese whispers, isn't it? When somebody has something, they're dying to tell someone else. They'll add a little percentage of sensationalism to it, won't they?
Well,
and then that gets multiplied every time.
If you look at the example of COVID, one of the things that we found, and we saw this in the WhatsApp groups, because we actually opened a WhatsApp line for our readers to say, if you're seeing something, you think it looks dodgy, but you're not sure, send it to us. And then we were fact checking it. And we used to put the fact checks back out to WhatsApp as well to try and
did you find
get it
people
to people.
Did that?
People were brilliant. They were fantastic, because most people are not in the business of trying to fool somebody else. You are trying to spread information and say, God, you know what, John, this might be useful to you. We saw this because we would have links to international fact-checking communities.
So how do we protect ourselves from, let's say, somebody who's saying, right, we fact-checked this, And the fact check is incorrect.
That's right. And we would see that because I guess one of the ways in which people who have an interest in spreading particular things online because they want to inspire fear or hate, which are very powerful emotions online, things that make you feel afraid or make you feel annoyed or angry, are the things that spread fastest. That's a psychological thing. It's well proven. And so that's the way people get in. And we've seen a lot of that in Ireland in the last few years in particular. And we're seeing it right now with some real world effects. So
what advice would you give to somebody, let's say, who does a lot of reading online, news sites? How do they protect themselves? How do they know what's real and what's not real?
Oh, Robbie, this is so important. This is where I think building your own resilience against this stuff is so important, and being able to tell there's good content out there, there's good information there as well. And we run a campaign every year called Be Media Smart, and there's a very simple message in that, and I'm using it because honestly it's something we use in the newsroom every day as well. And it is the thing that I said of stop, think and check. So when it's stop, it's first of all to go, okay, this piece of content is hitting me hard. Why is it hitting me hard? Have I just read the headline? Is there something about the way it's said? Do they use a lot of adjectives instead of just presenting you with facts? Mm. If they are, they're trying to persuade you of something. Does it feel a bit more like an ad for something? So then you move to your next step, which is to think. And it's like, okay, why am I starting to feel that way? Well, it's because it's been shared loads and loads of times. It's really viral. It must be true.
Of course, the other thing is people recognising the difference between an opinion piece and something that is factual news.
That's right.
And that the lines have been blurred a little bit, haven't
they? They're very blurred. And that's where it even goes back to that stop part of the process here, where you think about if this is true and if this person has a lot of facts and what they're saying is just based on fact and they're coming at it objectively, then I don't see any reason they would be shouting it at me or telling me I'm under threat. It would, the information would do it enough for myself. Are they trying to gatekeep for you? Are they always telling you this is the way it is and not necessarily giving you all the information to check out for yourself? It's something you can check really in yourself.
I mean, Be Media Smart, where do we go for information? What will we get when we go to the website for Be Media Smart?
Well, there is, yes, that's right, it's bemediasmart.ie. There's lots of links out to different places. So, for example, they would have a link to our fact-checking unit so you can see our latest debunks. But they also link to toolkits where you can learn for yourself how to, I suppose, look at images online and go, is that a genuine image? Does it look like it's been tampered with? Is somebody manipulating media in order to tell me a different story? Because a picture does paint 1,000 words, and we're concerned about AI generated images, all sorts now.
Yeah. Be Media Smart, it's the website to go to. Thank you so much to Susan Daly from Journal Media, the managing editor, for having a chat with us about being media smart. And MediaWise with Comisune the Man, back next Saturday morning, here on Saturday Live on Sunshine 106.8.